So you guys know my wife, Amy, and so I love it when I start off a sermon like that. She loves it too. And so you know her, and so we've been married for a long time, and there's lots of differences, a lot of things that we, you know, are alike, but there's some major differences in us. And one of those things, and you may not know this because, you know, I was the youth minister, and we did all the youth ministry things and, you know, a lot of crazy things and stuff like that. But did you know that my wife and I are different in this, is that if there was a rule follower in the family, it actually would be me. So I'm the rule follower of the family. Amy is not, and which is really odd. And if you know her, you'd be thinking, yeah, there's none. But let me tell you, so this is where the difference comes into play for us. And I don't know if you've heard that term, you know, rocking the boat. Have you ever heard that? You know, people rock the boat. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but so I would say Amy is the rock in the boat kind of person. Now, you may be thinking, well, she's so quiet, you know, she doesn't really say a lot, but I'm not talking about the verbal rocking the boat, you know, causing waves, that kind of thing. Literally, physically, she is the rock the boat kind of person. Let me tell you what that means. So if we go out on a boat, I'm the rule follower, I'm sitting down, I'm holding on. I mean, if there's some place to hold on in a boat, I'm going to hold on to it. Amy's the one that stands up and goes, woo! And she'll start rocking back and forth and goes until the boat's like almost touching the water. And I'm the whole time screaming like a little kid. I'm serious. So that's her. She's a boat rocker. The other time that I really try to stay away from, and I don't know if you have done this, but I'm not a snow skier. I'm not very good. I roll down the mountain. It's ugly. But Amy's really good. And so I remember going skiing with her. But you get on the lift, and that's one of Amy's favorite places to be, is on a chairlift. I can't figure that out. But she gets on the chairlift. Again, I'm the rule follower. I pull the gate down. I'm going to hold on as tight as I can as they're going up the hill in the thing because I don't want to fall out, and I'm a little scared. So Amy is the opposite. So she pops that thing up and she rocks that thing back and forth. Woo! Like it's a, you know, amusement park ride back and forth. If she can go all the way back and look straight down, that's a win. And for me, it makes me want to throw up. I'm not kidding. And so back and forth nonstop, all the way going up, and the whole time again, I'm screaming like a little kid, and it's very embarrassing. But that is the difference between my wife and me. Amy is the rock the boat kind of person. Physically and literally, she does that in our life. Well, I want to share a little bit about rocking the boat, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about verbally. What does it mean to verbally rock the boat a little bit? Maybe stir the pot a little bit? Listen, when we hear those words, what do we think of? We think of someone that is trying to stir up some conflict, kind of shake things up a little bit. Well, I'm going to talk about Daniel, and Daniel was a boat rocker. He rocked the boat, but not in a negative way. And when I talk about him being that kind of person that would rock the boat, what I'm going to talk about this morning is that Daniel was an unapologetic Christian. He was an unapologetic God follower who would proclaim his faith, would talk about his God, and it would stir the waters a little bit. It would rock the boat a little bit, but he stood his ground on his faith. And so I want to talk about life unapologetic. How do we live the life unapologetic, this Christian faith, on a daily basis? We may talk about rocking the boat a little bit, but hear me out as we walk through this. It's not about anything that comes across mean or hateful, but really rocking the boat for the Lord, in a sense, standing strong in our faith, speaking the truth that we know in God's word. And so if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we're going to be in Daniel and really reading from chapter 4 of Daniel. We're going to be going back and forth from chapter 2 and chapter 4. If you haven't had a chance to read Daniel chapter 2 or chapter 4, I want you to do that. Please, when you go home, if you have a few moments, begin to read Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4. We're going to go back next week and look at chapter 3. That's a big one. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel and his life. As we talk about this culture shift, this series, how our culture is changing, and what do we do about that as believers, and how do we live out our faith? So again, we're in Daniel chapter 4. We're going to be reading just a few verses this morning, and then we're going to go back and kind of look through everything. So Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 22, then we're going to read verses 25 through 27. So just a few verses. If you're able and you can, please go ahead and stand as we read God's word. For you guys that are online, if you would stand and we'll read this together. So Daniel chapter 4, verse 22 and then 25 through 27. And here's what God's word says. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. In verse 27, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that's in your word. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in this place and in our hearts, so that when we leave here, we'll be transformed and be different. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we think of chapter 2 of Daniel, really chapter 2 and chapter 4 talk about dreams that King Nebuchadnezzar had. You remember last week we talked about Daniel being uncommon. He had an uncommon life, a different life that set him apart because of his devotion to God. He was devoted to God. And so whatever was happening, he was devoted to his heavenly Father. So in chapter 2, what we find is Nebuchadnezzar having a dream. And what he did, his dream disturbed him, and he wanted answers. As many kings that's happened, as it was common, what they would do is they would call in their magicians and their astronomers and astrologers, all those people, they'd call in, and they would ask them to interpret their dream for him. And so, but here's the interesting thing. King Nebuchadnezzar did something different this time. He called in his magicians and called in all those people, and he threw a little loop there, threw something a little different. He said, I want you to tell me what my dream is and interpret it for me. So it wasn't just them, him sharing his dream and them saying something. He wanted them to tell him his dream. He wanted to know this was for real. And obviously they couldn't do that. And so they were sent away, and Nebuchadnezzar was upset and angry, and he sent out an order to really to kill all the magicians and all the wise men and all the astronomers, astrologers, everyone, including Daniel and his buddies. And so when Daniel caught wind of this, he went to the king, eventually went to the king and said, give me some time. I'm going to interpret your dream for you. And so Daniel goes back and he prays with his buddies, and they pray all night. And God reveals the dream to him that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar and he explained this dream to him, shared the dream, and then interpreted the dream for him, the dream. And again, if you have a chance, walk through Daniel chapter 2 and a fascinating picture, really, this image that was a part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of different kingdoms all through time, one taking over from the other, leading up, starting with the Babylonian Empire, which represented the gold head, that was, which were, they were in at the time, all the way down to the kingdom that Jesus will set up that will never be destroyed, which we're looking forward to that day. And so it's a fascinating look at the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. So Daniel interpreted the dream for him. As a result of that, he was elevated in position. God took care of him and watched over him. Now, chapter 4, you would think that Nebuchadnezzar would learn, right? You'd think that he would find the error of his ways and trust God and trust that God is in control of all things. We get to chapter 4, and he's kind of back in his old ways. The kingdom has grown. The Babylonian Empire was grown. It was powerful, and Nebuchadnezzar had great wealth. He had great power. He had everything that he desired and he wanted, and he kind of looked to himself as the reason for that. That he refused to acknowledge the fact that God is the one that places all people in leadership. God is the one that gives all things to all people, that he is in control. So he refused to acknowledge that. So in chapter 4, we're back at it again, where he has a dream, and this dream was of a tree that had grown so big that it reached up almost to the heavens, and that it was flourishing, and then all of a sudden it was cut and to the stump, and so this really frustrated Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't know what to do, and so he called Daniel. After others couldn't do it, he finally called Daniel. Daniel came in. He interpreted his dream, and not just interpreted his dream of this tree, but then he was very honest with King Nebuchadnezzar. And so what he said is what we read earlier in chapter 4, verses 22, then 25 through 27, where he interpreted and said, King, you are that tree. And you have grown powerful and you have grown mighty because God has allowed that to happen in your life. But because you did not give God credit, because you did not focus back on God and that God is doing all things, then God's going to take it away. And so he talks to him about that tree being cut, the root being left, that Nebuchadnezzar would lose his kingdom. He would go and live with the wild animals, that his mind would be changed and he would live with the wild animals. But after he would give credit to God, then that kingdom would be restored. So that's where we find ourselves as we look in chapter 4 in the passage that we said. But here's what I want you to kind of focus in on. We're going to go back and I want you to read with me chapter 4 starting in verse 27. Because you remember, Daniel had already done his job. He had interpreted the dream for him. It was a disturbing dream for Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel didn't stop there, because here's where the boldness and the courage comes out for Daniel. Listen, he had already shown it so much because, you know, if something were to went wrong, his life would have been done. He trusted God. He leaned on God. And Daniel interpreted that dream, but he didn't stop there. And this is where we talk about rocking the boat a little bit, being unapologetic for the truth that we know to have in God's word and who God is. And this is where Daniel proclaimed these words in verse 27. He said, "Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity." Can you imagine Daniel standing before the most powerful person in the world at the time? And what does he say to him? He says, "Listen, repent of your sin, turn your life around and give it back to God. Give your life to God. Change your life. Stop living how you're living and give God glory." Listen, that is a powerful step of boldness, a powerful step of courage, and that is being unapologetic in your faith. You don't see and read Daniel stopping and saying, "I'm sorry, I just shared that with you. I'm sorry, I don't really mean that. I'm sorry, I hope that doesn't upset you." Listen, he, with all confidence and grace and mercy and love, he boldly proclaimed the truth that he needed to hear, that King Nebuchadnezzar needed to hear. So I want to talk a little bit about that. How do we have that same boldness and courage in our faith to be unapologetic in our Christian faith? And I hope you hear that I'm not talking about, getting on Facebook and messing with people's minds and getting on social media and really downing people and what they believe. That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about standing on the foundation of our faith and keeping grounded in what we believe and speaking truth to all people. How do we do that and live in an unapologetic faith? So I just want to look at a few things with you today. If you have your notes and you had those from online, that is great. If not, that's okay too. So I just want to share this first. What is an unapologetic Christian life? What is it not? And again, I want to just throw this out to you so that we understand, because Christianity in many places have really gotten a bad rap, and rightly so in some circles, as Christians are angry and mean and sometimes can be divisive. Listen, that is not the biblical picture of sharing truth in our world today, in any time. And so what is being an unapologetic Christian? What does that look like? Well, one is this: it's not an arrogant life. So being an unapologetic Christian is not being arrogant. Matter of fact, we need to understand that we truly don't know it all. We don't have everything together ourselves. So recognize this, that we definitely don't know it all. And sometimes Christians try to imply that in our life. Can I just tell you, living the unapologetic Christian life, as you share truth with people, is not about being better than them. So we're not to be arrogant. That's not what this is. But also, it's not uncaring. You know, having an unapologetic Christian faith, as you stand on what you believe, as you proclaim the truth, it's not uncaring. You know, a lot of times we will proclaim what we believe, we will say what we believe, and we do it, we stir that pot or we rock that boat, but we do it in a way that lacks mercy and lacks grace and lacks love. And that's not the picture that we find in Scripture. What we find is a caring, gracious believer that shares the gospel and shares truth. Why? Because the truth is this, that we're all created in the image of God. Therefore, every person has value. Everybody. And so we treat everyone like that. And so when we speak truth and we share truth, we recognize that value in them. Daniel spoke truth. Daniel was honest. He cared. He recognized the value of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he was caring. But also, listen, it's not a perfect life. So to be unapologetic in your faith is not being perfect. There's nobody perfect. You're not perfect and I'm not. There's nobody in here that lives a perfect life. We will not see perfection until we see Jesus face to face. And so don't live like you're perfect. Live like you're redeemed and saved by grace. Live like you're a sinner saved by grace, because that's what we are. And we recognize that everybody else is in the same boat. And so we live out our faith unapologetically because we recognize what Jesus has done for us, and we're just sharing that with other people. And we're going to stand strong on that. So listen, those are a few things that are not really about an unapologetic Christian faith. So what is an unapologetic Christian faith? What does that look like for you and for me and our faith today? Well, let's just first think of this. If you think about the definition of unapologetic, it's very simple. It's, if you look it up, it's not acknowledging something or expressing regret for something. Well, I like the idea of not expressing regret. We don't have regret for sharing the truth, no regret for living out our faith, and that is so true. But I want to just break it down to just a simple kind of terminology for us as we think about the idea of living out an unapologetic Christian faith. And it's simply this. It's simply truth walking and truth talking with no regret. So listen, truth walking and truth talking with no regret. What does that look like? Well, it means that we live out our faith, the truth of God's word, and we speak it and proclaim it with no regret because we know it's true. Listen, we look at Daniel's life and we see the situation that he was in. Many times when we experience something like that ourselves, the tendency is to kind of cower back a little bit. It's to pull back and to kind of run from our faith rather than lean into it. And I love the fact that at that moment for Daniel, he leaned into his Heavenly Father. He leaned into his faith and he proclaimed truth. He trusted. And for us, if we're going to live this life, this unapologetic Christian life, it is not being sorry for our faith stance and leaning into that rather than pulling back when times get tough. And can I just say, as we talk about culture shift, we see it all over the world. We see it everywhere. Everywhere we go, from the grocery store to our jobs to the school. Listen, we are being pushed back and forth by a culture shift. But may that never change our faith. May we never be ashamed of our faith. May we always stand strong on that. May we never let that cause us to pull back from our faith. So let's think about just quickly about this truth-telling and truth-walking. And the first thing is this. If you have your notes, then it's good. If not, you can write this down. But listen, an unapologetic Christian life is a life that boldly does what is right, even when it's not popular. So what is an unapologetic Christian faith? Well, it's living life the right way, even when it's not popular. But there's a part of this that it's not on your notes, but I want you to write this down if you have those notes. It's this. Listen, we live this bold life, and we live it right even when it's not popular. But why? For the purpose of pointing others to Jesus. The thing about Daniel that set him apart that we can follow and kind of emulate in our life is this. We're going to have situations where our life is on display, and I think it is all the time as Christians. Matter of fact, for years and years, I think churches and Christians in general have not done this enough, but living a life that is different. And so here's Daniel at a point where he has to make a choice. And what Daniel did was that he confronted, in a sense, Nebuchadnezzar with the truth. His life had already been known. He was already set apart, but he confronted Nebuchadnezzar. But here's the interesting thing. He pointed him to God. It wasn't to point back at Daniel, and it wasn't to show Nebuchadnezzar how wise Daniel was, but what? It pointed back to God. And for us, as we live this life that is set apart, a life that is bold, that is unapologetic in our faith, we do what is right, even though the world sees that as unpopular. Listen, we do it so that we can point others to Jesus. And if you've ever questioned and thought, will there be a pushback in my life as a Christian? And the answer is yes. Because when you become a Christian, you're a new creation in Christ, a new creature. Out is the old, in with the new. So you are different. This is no longer your home. So as a result, as the culture is moving one direction, you're moving in a different direction because you're different. And listen, the world doesn't like different. And so there's going to be some friction in this world. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us that the world's going to hate you. So we recognize this. So when we live right, then it will be unpopular. But listen, if we're going to do it, then we do it so people can see Jesus. And so an unapologetic life is just pointing to Jesus. Romans 12 says this, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Galatians 6, 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Continue to live right. Listen, that is a stance in our faith, to live the right way. Even though we may be bombarded with ideas from the world, we live in the right way. We do it the right way. Last week I said this passage, and I'm going to say it again because it's so perfect. Matthew 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Listen, when we talk about cowering back or pulling back on our faith, what we're doing is we're putting a bowl over the light. And may we shine bright every step of the way in our life. Craig Rochelle says this. He said, "Listen, do what is right and trust God with the results." So an unapologetic life is just trusting God, doing the right thing, and then trusting God in the end, in the results, and let him do his thing. Listen, I'm pretty sure Daniel stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, maybe thinking what could happen, what may happen, but realizing his God was in control, and he trusted God for the results. And may we do the same daily. Listen, we are called to live a right life, and may we do it. But listen, the other thing is this. An unapologetic life is this. It's a life that lovingly confronts sin even when it's uncomfortable. Lovingly confronts sin even when it's uncomfortable. And that's what Daniel did. He confronted Nebuchadnezzar's sin. And I can only imagine how awkward and how uncomfortable that moment was. And let's just be honest. If you were confronted with that, or if I was, it would be a little uncomfortable. But listen, as believers, we are called to stand on our faith and to talk and speak truth. So here are the words I need you to add to those notes, is that we are called to confront sin, even when it's uncomfortable, for the purpose of restoring others to Jesus. We need to restore others to Jesus. So if we talk about this unapologetic faith, listen, we're not living unapologetically just for the fun of it. We're doing it so that we might help others get closer to Jesus, to be restored in a relationship with Jesus. Can I tell you the downfall, I believe, of the church now in this world, and I mean church universal, is that I think for so long we're scared to hold each other accountable. I really do. I think that is one of the biggest fears that we have. And that's human nature. Let's think about it. Now, for me, listen, my personality is I'm not a conflict kind of guy. I necessarily like confrontation. If you were to ask our staff, they'd say the same thing. That's not my first thing to do. I don't really enjoy confrontation. I kind of worry about people that do like confrontation, but I don't do that. But listen, that is something that I've had to learn in my life, that there are times to confront, especially when it's dealing with sin. And I think as a church universal, we have missed the boat on holding each other accountable and confronting our brothers and sisters in Christ and talking to them and helping them in a time of need. And what Scripture tells us, gently restoring them and bringing them back into this relationship with Jesus. Listen, we are called to live unapologetically by proclaiming truth, confronting sin, even when it's uncomfortable. Ephesians 4:15 says this, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Listen, if you have never underlined that in your Bible, Ephesians 4:15, underline it. Speaking truth in love. That is a powerful statement, verse that tells us, listen, we speak truth, but we speak it in love. You know, I was thinking about just communication, how important communication is for us. And there's all kinds of statistics and things that talk about communication. Do you know that studies tell us that the average American adult speaks approximately 16,000 words per day? 16,000 words per day. Multiply that by a lifespan of 70 years, a total of nearly 409 million words. Listen, speaking is a very important part of society and us. Now, that many words, some of you guys, you might skew that up a little bit. Some of y'all may take it down a little bit, but that's the average. Now, with social media that's come about, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the stats on social media. I don't know if you guys are even into social media stuff, but listen, these are pretty fascinating about how many people are using different things of social media, different facets of social media. But listen to these stats. One of them is Instagram. Instagram is pretty popular. We have that for our church. But listen, more than 40 billion photos have been shared so far in Instagram. 40 billion. Has over 1 billion monthly active users. Monthly, 1 billion monthly active users. Now, this is interesting. 500 million people use Instagram stories every day. 500 million people use that. Think how much communication is trying to happen through that. Facebook is another one. Now, again, the demographic of who uses Facebook now is a little different than it used to be, but Facebook has 2.8 billion monthly active users. To date, Facebook users have made over 2.5 trillion posts. 2.5 trillion posts. The average person spends 57 minutes per day, almost an hour, on Facebook. Another one is Twitter. I don't know much about Twitter. I don't do a lot of Twitter stuff, but Twitter has 134 million daily active users. 90% of all 13 to 24 year olds in the U.S. But that's 134 million daily active users. The other one is Snapchat. Snapchat is a big one. It is 90% of all 13 to 24 year olds in the U.S. use Snapchat. 84 million daily active users Snapchat. Here's another one that I think is the newer one, and maybe you guys know about it, but it's TikTok. Yeah, I feel like uncool just saying it. I don't know why, but TikTok is another one that's really big right now. TikTok has 500 million active users worldwide. 500 million active users. Users spend over 61 minutes per day on the app. Average over 61 minutes per day on TikTok. So I actually did my own percentages and discovered that 90% of adults over 45 call it TikTok, which is true. And then my own little one too, 100%. I say 100% over 45 shouldn't be dancing on TikTok at all. So, okay, those are my those are my percentages, just to let you know. That's what I think. So listen, communication is huge in our life. Sharing things is huge. Speaking things. Don't you think we should use more and have more caution and use more wisdom when we share? Listen, it is huge for our society and for our world. And I'll dare to say that we pretty much, most everybody in here is on some form of social media or in communication with people all the time. And I say that because we have an incredible avenue of sharing the truth of the gospel, but we also have a huge responsibility of sharing in a way that helps restore people to Jesus, not push them away. And so when we talk about an unapologetic life, a Christian life that is unapologetic on our faith and living out our faith, I want to encourage you to always have Matthew 22 at the core of your communication. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So everything that we do, we understand as we speak truth in love, we recognize how much we love God and should love God and how much we need to love our neighbor. Listen, are you speaking truth in love? This idea of truth in love is very interesting as we think back on Ephesians 4. The truth is this, that if you communicate with others unapologetically, just with truth, then you're legalistic. If you just use love, then you're missing the whole point. But together, we can share the truth of the gospel in an effective way that's going to restore people back to Jesus. So do you live out and speak out your faith in an unapologetic way? You know, we look in Scripture, and one of the things that it talks about in Romans 15, 14, it says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." I want to encourage you today to be unapologetic in your faith, to share truth in a way that can build others up, that can restore others to Jesus, share the truth of the gospel with people. Don't cower back and regret. Don't cower back and pull away from your faith, but lean in on your faith in every situation, because God is calling us to be unapologetic in how we share. Three things real quick, just to help us pull all this together. What do we do in order to live out the way that Daniel did? And there's three things. One is be attentive to the word. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." Listen, never step out of your house. Never step into a confrontation with someone without having God's word in your heart. God's word directs, it gives us wisdom, and we desperately need it in how we make decisions. Let God's word direct your tongue. But then also this, be yielded to the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." What does that mean? It means we push ourselves aside and let the Holy Spirit lead in this. Listen, because what happens when it becomes our thing and we enter into some kind of communication or conflict or confrontation, then what happens is then our opinions and our preferences start to take over. And listen, that's where difficulty begins to happen. That's where that boat begins to get rocked in a negative way. But listen, if we yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak through us and lead us, then we're more likely to handle conflict in a biblical and compassionate and joyful way. We're able to share the gospel and live in a way that will bring people to Jesus rather than push them away. But also this, be connected to the body. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Listen, some people will say, church is not that important. Can I just tell you, it is vital in our faith. Why? It's because in church is where we sharpen each other. In churches where we hold each other accountable so that when we do go out into the world and we do share the truth and live out the truth in our life, we're doing it in a godly way, not a hypocritical way. Listen, the church is valuable for us as a body, so stay connected to each other. Stay connected every Sunday, Wednesday, every time you can. Come in together, whatever small group you can get into. Stay connected because in connection we're able to fine-tune our faith and know just how strong we are to be as we stand up in this world. Can I just tell you, to be unapologetic, you can't do that alone. You can't live an unapologetic Christian faith alone. Together as the body of Christ, as you sharpen each other, we're able to communicate and live out our faith in a way that brings people to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you a question today. As we think about this Daniel challenge, and last week we talked about him being uncommon, and now this week unapologetic as he shared with King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me ask you the question today. Do you live an unapologetic Christian life? That you hold strong to your faith and to what is true? Or do you step back and pull back from your faith in difficult times? I think today the world needs to see a church that is standing strong in its convictions, standing strong in its faith, and not wavering in times of difficulty. And in that, we gain great integrity in the eyes of the world. Listen, they're looking for a church that says one thing and lives it out. May we live an unapologetic, Christian, faith-based life. May we follow after God's word with everything that we have.